The Hannah Gray Mayor of Bromley podcast. Championing small businesses. Hannah Gray has been serving the community as a local government councillor for several years. She was nominated to be the 2020-2021 Mayor of the London Borough of Bromley at the height of the COVID pandemic in March 2020. Hannah has for many years been known as one of South London's most prolific small and medium enterprise networkers. Before becoming Mayor, Hannah was Bromley's business champion, promoting and helping entrepreneurs achieve their business ambitions. She's now dedicated to helping promote SMEs, charities, and voluntary organizations to learn from their experiences for the benefit of all.
Okay, so today I am absolutely delighted that on my Merrill podcast, I am being joined by no less than Paul Sinner. Now, that's a name that you may well be familiar with because we all know him from The Chase. But there's so much more behind Paul than that, having done my little bit of research. So we'll ask Paul a few questions and have a little chat and see what else we can find out about him, have a little dig deep. So, Paul, thank you so much for joining me today.
Not a problem. I'll be honest with you, I didn't have a lot on.
Oh, bless you. Yeah, with this lockdown, we are all a little bit stuck indoors. And that's really why I've started doing these podcasts, because I wanted to reach out and help as many people as possible and see if we can give them a little bit of hope out there and a little bit of happiness and see whether there's any sort of top tips that you might have. But you didn't always start off, I would suggest you didn't start off as a quizzer, although Wikipedia tells me that you did enjoy it very much as a child, collecting quiz books.
Oh, is that what someone's put on Wikipedia, is it? I want to have a look at some stage and check it's all true. I was always a studious child. I was always went to Dulwich Prep and Dulwich College, schools that you may well know very well in your capacity as the mayor of Bromley. And my mum and dad and their friends soon identified I wasn't going to be one of those kids that was going to play cricket for England or be a lad, adventure holidays, skiing holidays. They knew that I was the bookish one. And I was always given general knowledge books as a kid.
Well, that's given you a background for the kind of things that we know you for now. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm very familiar with Dulwich College and Dulwich Prep because actually both of my boys went to Dulwich Prep. I used to live in Dulwich myself, so very familiar with it. Yeah, you see, there's a connection, yeah. But I think they're a little bit younger than you because one's
I hope so. I mean, that's the linear way in which time works. If your kids were not younger than me, something has gone horribly wrong.
Absolutely. But they also weren't laddie lads, and one's gone into music and the other one wants to go into the RAF. So it's funny how all these things change as you go along. But so you went from being at Dulwich to, did you go, because I know you studied medicine for a while, so did that take you straight into medicine, or did you discover your comedy side of you, which people might not be that familiar with, at the same time as going to medical school?
Oh, how do I put this into one coherent linear narrative? I was pushed into medical school by medical family and being dazzlingly brilliant at school for about the first 13 years of my life, 13, 14, until they started pushing me towards the sciences, which ironically was probably the thing that I was weakest at. So I ended up at medical school doing a medical degree, but not feeling quite as though I was in the right place at the right time. Didn't feel like what I wanted to be doing in 30, 40 years' time.
Yeah.
So I always had my ear to the ground for other things, and I started writing comedy and medical school reviews and this, that, and the other. And actually, I did my first comedy gig as a house officer in my first year of first year as a house doctor. And I will say this now, I had no idea that it would ever be my career. It hadn't even occurred to me. A lot of people do things not because they want to change their life, but because they want something they can boast about in a dinner party situation with their friends. And I just wanted to be the person who said, oh, I've done stand-up comedy. It was quite interesting, really. But somehow or another, I was still a stand-up comedian 25 years later. And I did not see that one coming at all.
That's great, to follow your dreams, actually, to follow kind of an instinct and just do something. And how brave must you be to stand up and be a stand-up comedian? Back in the day, I used to sing opera. I was an opera singer, made some money out of it. I wouldn't say I was particularly brilliant or very, very successful. I just made a bit of money, so that gives me the ability to say.
Well, opera singing is, if you're doing it for a living, you're already great at it, because it's just too difficult to do professionally and not be good at it. So I wouldn't put yourself down.
Well, I wouldn't say...
It's not like you're a professional trapeze artist. You know, you've got to reach a certain level before anyone's paying you money to be entertained by you.
I guess so, but I still don't see it as being as brave as standing up and being a stand-up comedian. Because you're relying on your own material as well, aren't you? But I read that your second solo in Edinburgh, solo show, Saint and Sinner, oh, I'll see what you did there. That was a big success for you, and that's what sort of launched your career. I mean, again, that's what Wikipedia says. I'd rather hear what you have to say.
Well, I think that was the turning point of my life, really. 2006, Edinburgh Festival, when they're all guns blazing, by which I mean they had a PR person. You pay decent money to somebody who goes into bars and tells journalists, this is what to watch. It's all very murky, but it worked out for me. And I got nominated for the best show at the Edinburgh Festival of Sunday. I was on people's radar. And before then, nobody had heard of me. So, yeah, 2006 was very much the turning point.
That's great. And so, I mean, you've got to be strong to follow your dreams. On that note, a dear friend of mine, I don't expect you to remember him at all because you've been interviewed by thousands of people I know, Michael Trabalsi, Trabs as we call him. I think he was working for LBC at the time, and it was his birthday yesterday, and we sent him a little video and told him that I was going to be talking to you today. And he said, oh yeah, I've spoken to him. Really nice guy. You'll have a great time, Hannah. So there you go. That was the reputation that you had. Obviously you did well, or
yeah,
have.
Sure.
You obviously did well.
So, not very well to say really nice guy, but this is just a front that we put on.
You reckon?
If you can't be bothered to be nice to people that are in broadcasting and interviewing you and allowing you to present your own facade, then when are you going to be nice, quite frankly?
So the cinnamon or the smiling assassin, is that not really you then? Is that just a little persona that you put on the chase?
I don't even know. I'm not Panther, am I? The beast is the beast. The Dark Destroyer is the Dark Destroyer. And the governess is the governess. And I'm just a pun on my own name. This poor sinner, the sinner man, it doesn't really mean anything. And I just try and play the game as a game.
Yeah.
I'm the guy that looks at the player and goes, I'm going to be nice to you, but I'm going to do everything I can to try and beat you.
But my goodness, those questions
are
hard.
Winning, I suppose, is I'm trying to analyse how best I can beat them.
Yeah, but those questions are so hard. I mean, I'm really not a bright quizzer at all. I've got my other talents, but quizzing isn't one of mine. And I sit there, and just when they're left with one person up against one of you experts, I just think, how on earth? I mean, I know it's been done, but how on earth? That takes a skill.
Do you know what? You're wrong. Most of the questions are quite straightforward. In the final chase, that is. And so the key is to just keep your nerve. The key is just to concentrate on what's being said to you and also to guess if you don't know. Sometimes you get things like, oh, what continent does the Jaboa live? And they go past. And it's like you had a 1 in 5 chance there. It's all about keeping calm. Because the final chase, half the questions are reasonably tricky, half of them are, 6 multiplied by 7. And that's why you don't see many people on their own get less than 10. Because there are at least 10 questions in there that you should get without thinking about it. It's nerves. It's really nerve-wracking. If you're a chaser, it takes you quite a while to get used to the nerves of performing.
Yeah.
And that's the big difference between us and them. It's not knowledge, although obviously it is. And the bigger difference is experience. When we're sat in the chair, we're doing something that we've done hundreds of times before. And that's the massive difference.
Yeah, and you often hear that, actually, from one of the chasers. You hear you've got to keep your nerve. If you hadn't lost your concentration in the last quarter of those questions, then you probably would have got a few more points there. So you'd exactly. often hear that, yeah. I just don't think I'd get there in the first place. Oh, and if you do see Bradley Walsh, would you let him know I've still got his T-shirt? Yeah, I'll leave that. I'll just leave that one hanging. Still got his T-shirt, and he can have it back if he'd like. You know, it's fine. But I might explain.
Okay, I shall say nothing. I shall inquire no more.
I might explain what that is by the end of this interview, but actually it's just a little bit of fun. So seeing as we're talking about keeping your nerve, keeping calm, staying there, staying focused, a lot of these podcasts that I'm doing with local businesses, local celebrities and international celebrities now, thank you, are to try and find some top tips to dig out something in you that's kept you going. What's kept you going during this lockdown? What are you thinking in yourself, in your sort of in your mindset to say, right, OK, we're all going to come out of this OK in the end, presuming that you are thinking that. I hope you are. I know you've actually had. Well, I say I know you have. It was reported that you had COVID. So I'm hoping you're well now, as well as you can be. But what are you feeling to keeping you going?
To be perfectly honest with you, the thing that keeps me going more than anything else is that this isn't just my experience. I'm lucky enough to have what I call inspirational parents, and they've worked their butts off all their lives to create an environment where I can thrive and where my sister can thrive and flourish. And now they want their retirement and their dotage. And all they ever wanted to do was spend it wallowing in the love of their grandchildren. And I feel so sorry and empathetic for the way that their life has been turned upside down in what should be their hard-earned dotage years. I never look at my life and go, well, I'm suffering. The important thing to remember is, however you might be feeling, somebody's got it worse than you. And so I'm lucky enough to have a husband, a sister, a nephew, a niece, a brother-in-law, a mum and a dad, and we all live within a mile radius of each other. And if I start flagging, I feel like I'm letting everybody down because everybody's working so hard. On Christmas Day, my sister created the most extraordinary gastronomic piece, works of genius, and brought them round to our front door for us to eat. And people are working really hard to make sure that other people are surviving and coping. And I'm not going to be the one that falls by the wayside and goes, oh, my life's such a misery, my life's such a misery. Because in some ways, everyone's life's a misery. And the only way we're going to get through it is to pull together and look out for each other. And so the thing that's driving me more than anything else is my parents wanted to spend these years just playing with their grandchildren. That's all they wanted. I'm going to be there when they get to do it at their leisure as much as they want. I will be there for them because life is teamwork.
Yeah,
it's not just a solitary experience; it's teamwork.
I so agree with you. We were so lucky. I mean, I can talk about Bromley obviously in quite a lot of depth, and we are so lucky here. You know, the whole of the borough is based on either small business or volunteers. And when you become mayor, I was deputy mayor a few years ago, and then become mayor, you see people, you know, like your parents who have worked their socks off and are also now giving back, and people are giving to them too. The one thing that we've seen through this awful lockdown is a tremendous amount of community spirit, people giving back, people looking after each other, people rallying around, and as you say, dropping off food. I know that was your sister's wonderful culinary expertise, but people are doing it for each other, aren't they? And our volunteers, we had thousands and thousands of volunteers wanting to go out and get people's medication for them, wanting to go out and get their shopping for them, and now standing as marshals and looking after people that are older generation, the people getting vaccinated first, whilst they get vaccinated. And we all need to do that. I absolutely agree with you. We need to pull together and not sort of be sitting there licking our wounds if we can possibly help it, and really just look after each other. I think, I mean, for you to think that, because I know that you were fairly recently diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, it must have been an awful shock for you. But for you to still have that positive attitude to you've just got to carry on, soldier on and give back. I think that's the only way to go forward, because otherwise there would be that awful downward spiral which you'd never get yourself out of. How people do, I mean, there's help to help people out, but how they do get out of that downward spiral, I don't know. So
yeah, I mean, the two other big things for me. Number one, this was my first year of marriage.
Yeah.
And I'm not allowing my first year of marriage to be hell. I'm just not having that. On December 14th, 2019, I had the most overwhelmingly emotional action-packed day of my life. And I'm not going to let the happy memories of that just dissolve and disappear into the ether just because COVID's come along. I mean, I feel absolutely blessed to be not alone.
Yeah.
To be doing this as a thing with someone else.
To find your soulmate, Oliver, I think it is, isn't it?
Oliver, yeah.
How wonderful! Where did you get married?
Where? Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't even remember. Some Marylebone.
Really?
Library.
You're not going to believe this. My very first marriage, unfortunately, I had been married twice and it wasn't work out. But my first marriage was Marylebone High Street. We've got too much in common. Our lives have collided. It's very beautiful with the lions outside, yeah?
Yes.
Beautiful. Oh, how wonderful. Oh, that is lovely. I'm so pleased you had a lovely day. That is so important.
It was amazing and it was jam-packed. It was absolutely amazing. I don't want the memories of that to be diluted. But the other thing is, the thing that's kept me sane as much as anything else is that in the absence of real life, online quizzing has thrived so much that there's always something that I can be doing every day where I'm competing against friends and people that I really like. Every single day there's something, and some days there's three or four. Not an awful lot has thrived in the pandemic. There can't be many worlds that can genuinely say we're bigger than we used to be. But online quizzing, my word, I'm going to miss it when the pandemic comes to an end. I'm really going to miss it. Because, you know, last night I played in a quiz match where one of my teammates was sat in his own car in Las Vegas. It used to mean you'd only quiz against people who are geographically close to you. Yesterday, I played on a team with someone in Las Vegas. I played on a four-man quiz match against two people from the United States of America and one somebody sat in Belgium. Quizzing is there's incredibly clever, gifted, and really hard-working people that have brought high-level quizzing to the masses. I'm not talking about the fun stuff. I'm talking about the serious stuff, where you're actually playing against the best quizzes in the world. And that's just been... I've been playing against the best quizzes in the world every single week.
Gosh, you're going to get better and better. There'll be no chance for anybody now. I mean, that would be my worst nightmare, honestly. Someone says to me as mayor, would you like to come to a quiz? And I say, can we get the deputy mayor to go to that, please? Because he's much more clever than I am.
And one thing that I will say, in general terms, is if you fear technology, don't embrace technology. Because Zoom is absolutely one of the things that's kept my spirits up.
Don't embrace technology. You're saying embrace technology. Oh, I agree with you 100%. I don't think we're ever going to look back, are we?
I had a 50th birthday in May that was done on Zoom, and by some miracle, even though I don't know her, British world champion heptathlete Katrina Johnson Thompson turned up to my Zoom room just to wish me a happy birthday.
Fantastic.
I had a New Year's Eve party on Zoom, which was just me playing tracks off Spotify while a room of drunk friends and some total strangers just sat there listening, and we all got drunk and celebrated the New Year together. Zoom has got the ability to bring people together in a way that we've never had before. And please, people out there, don't be fearful of it. It's actually quite straightforward.
Yeah, My induction to becoming mayor was done online. We used WebEx, actually, but, you know, it's this very, very similar platform. And my fellow councillors were a little worried at the time, that because we'd never done anything like it before, but actually it all worked really well. And we pre-made a couple of little videos. So, yeah, embracing technology. And it makes the world, as you just said, so much smaller. So one of your quizzing colleagues sitting in their car over in America is just fantastic. It's just incredible that we can all do that and get all that knowledge and support for each other.
Until that moment, I didn't even know who he was. I got a message from a friend going, we need two spare players for online quiz league match tonight in the American quiz league. Do you and Ollie want to play? The next thing we know, we're playing in an online quiz league that's based in America. And it's just like, this is fun.
That's incredible. So Ollie's a quizzer as well, is he?
Oliver is, I don't know if you know what it's like to be outstripped and outshone by somebody that you used to have several advantages over, but Oliver's very much a bit of a quiz genius. I mean, that's how we met. We met in the murky world of competitive quizzing. He's just got better and better and better.
Sounds incredible. What a great match that is.
His speciality is turning up as a guest to quizzes that I've been invited to and beating me. that seems to be what he enjoys doing as much as anything else.
That's brilliant.
But no, we're the best known couple in quiz, if you like, and we're a well known fixture in the whole online quizzing thing.
That's fabulous. And so,
I must stress the degree to which he's not in my shadow. he will beat me in quiz as many times as I beat him.
That's lovely. You know, that bit of banter between the two of you is so important.
Even within that, we're so, so different. In that I'm very much the over-emotional, can't stop talking, quiz, 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 quiz guy. And Oliver's more, oh, there's no quiz this afternoon, I'll pop my head in. And then an hour later, he's won. And I'm like, have you done that? You didn't even know this quiz existed an hour ago. You just come in and won it. He's very laid back. And I suppose with all the drama that's going on in my life, with one thing and another, it kind of provides a nice little counterpoint.
Absolutely. Yeah, you do need... We all need that kind of soulmate that knows us so well that they can just breeze in, and they're exactly what we need. We've gone off the television world. I don't know whether Oliver's ever going to go into the television world with you, but how's that programme, your new programme, Paul Sinner's TV Showdown, going? Because have you been able to record during this lockdown period?
Well, so was our last bit? I got as far as how's it going, and then he said...
Have you been able to record the show, the Paul Sinner's TV show?
It's a show of lockdown. It was recorded entirely during lockdown with all regulations and government laws held, scrutinised and obeyed 100%.
Because when I saw it the other night, it looked as if you had, you know, it was happening during lockdown, but it didn't. It was staged so well that it didn't look really awkward. And I just imagine, how does that actually feel when you're doing it? Does it feel strange with everyone sat so far apart? Because the way they actually film it, it doesn't look so bad.
Do you know what? I mean, I've done a lot of interviews to promote the show. People say, how does this feel? And 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 my honest answer is, I don't know. It's just been a really, really odd year. Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to cope with it as best I can and ride the way. I don't know how anything feels particularly anymore. So something happened in about March. Well, something happened when I got diagnosed with Parkinson's, which is I had to reassess my life and work out that the best way to move on is to try and enjoy it as much as possible. Then something happened in March when I got ill with probable COVID, and I had what I call the worst week of my life. Well, I was not only in bed ill with COVID, but a quiz friend of mine had passed away, and the tabloids were gossiping about him because I had mentioned his name on Twitter in a tribute, and I was having the worst week of my life in March. everything since then has been a reassessment of priorities and context, where I care a lot more about what's really, really important, which is friends, family, loved ones, than I do about what's less important, which is all the other stuff. Mm. And so when people say, how do you feel being a host rather than a chaser? I just go, it's been an odd year. This is just another odd thing that's happened. It doesn't feel as weird as it would have done 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It just feels like, what a strange year we're having. Let's just get on with it and deal, you know. If emotional, there's no doubt about that. But it just felt like another odd thing. So, you know, the fact that when I mentioned Katrina Johnson Thompson turning up to my birthday to say happy birthday to me, that didn't even feel that odd. I just thought, oh yeah, it's Katrina Johnson Thompson. She's been one of my sporting heroes for about 10 years.
Wow. Yes,
she is. Wishing me a happy birthday, my Zoom. It's been an odd year, and in many ways, I cannot wait for this all to be over. We can start looking at normal things again.
Yeah, but we'll look at them differently, won't we? We'll look at normality differently. All the things we've taken for granted that are very different right now, we will look at differently. And, you know, that hug that you can give people will be so important. I'm a bit of a hugger myself, and that will be so, so important for everyone. And I agree with you. You kind of slot into that. It's a very, very odd time. I haven't had the news that you've had, or the wonderful thing of getting married again.
So you have had being a mayor of Bromley in the last year to be a mayor of Bromley.
Well, you say that, you see. Now, I'm going to turn that round on you, because actually, of all the years, it's a huge honour to be Mayor of Bromley anyway. I mean, I am so proud. But of all the years, this is an amazing year to be Mayor of Bromley, because I've been able to go and say thank you to people that don't normally get a thank you. To say,
well, there is that, yeah.
I went to the dump to say thank you to them, and they were astonished and thrilled because a mayor hadn't done that before. Not because they don't want to, but we haven't been put in a position to think about it, and now we are all thinking about it. So actually, I have had a very strange year, but I've had quite an outstanding year, doing things that you never normally would do as mayor. And yeah, it's been a very strange but very, very great year. And just trying different things and thinking about things in a different way, and always trying to find the positive side, and always trying to find the best in people. And we have seen the best in people, haven't we? I know the news talks about the bad things that go on here and there, and they always find someone, some random person that, you know, is not doing what they should be doing and has got something awful to say. But the majority of people, I found, are really trying their best to be upbeat and trying their best to be very positive, as you are, which is, you know, it's so lovely to talk to you. I've got a couple of notes here, but I've got one thing I must say. You know your Chase app, that apparently there is one. I haven't done it because, as I said, I'm not a quitter. Well, I have to tell you, just, you know, make a note, watch out behind your back. My attendant, so as a mayor, I get someone that drives me around, looks after me, makes sure the protocol's followed and announces me. And he's generally a fantastic person, Neil Tully. Well, he's been doing your Chase quiz, and he just wanted you to know that he's beaten you twice. Just, you know, just look behind you.
Tell Neil Tully, I don't care. If there's one thing that I do not care about, it's what people are doing when playing quizzes against a virtual version of me.
Yeah. No, we had a chat, and I thought that was lovely.
I did feel a little needle go into my back when it happened.
Well, I've told him he should get on the actual show. That's what I think he should do, and give it a go, because I'm not brave enough to do that. What else was I going to say to you? Oh, I know. Rob Beckett. Now, because you know what, the reason I know that you're local to us here in Bromley, and I won't give away your destination, but you're local to us here in Bromley, is because you mentioned it on your show, on your Pulse in a TV show down. And Rob Beckett mentioned that he lived in Beckenham.
Indeed, you grew up, I think, in the area. I was with comedian. I think he was in the same school as comedian Tom Allen.
Was he? Right. Yeah. Well, we may be getting in touch with Rob. Tell him not to avoid my phone call.
I live next to Bromley.
Pardon?
I live next to Bromley. I have a brisk 10 to 15 minute walk away from Bromley.
Yes, I know. But we don't want to tell anybody exactly where you live. All your fans will be camping outside. We can't have that.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, don't tell Rob not to avoid the phone call, because we've got to try and get him on as well. Because I've got to do local celebs, see if I can get them on. But on another note, because you say quizzing is such a great thing in your life and you do it all the time, you never know. The mayor's office may try and get hold of you to see if we could possibly persuade you to do a little quiz to raise some money for my charities, because this year has been really difficult. I've got Cystic Fibrosis Supporters and Chartwell Cancer Trust. And normally we would raise quite a few thousand pounds for very flash dinners and things like that up at the House of Commons. And we haven't been able to do anything like that. So they may try and persuade you. I'm not asking you now, because you can't answer now. You're a very busy man, but they may try. So people need to watch out. Just
I shall
in case.
Be aware.
We'll see if we can get Rob to do it as well. Who knows? And someone I've got coming on in a couple of weeks' time is Helen Lederer. You may be familiar with Helen. She's quite local too, because I knew her from my Dulwich days. So she's agreed to come.
I've certainly seen her on occasion.
So
in a neighbourhood, I won't name the neighbourhood.
Exactly. We'll be subtle. We'll be subtle.
Helen Lederer is absolutely fantastic. A real legend of comedy.
She is.
Just somebody that was just always there.
Yeah, she is. She's fabulous. So I'm looking forward to that as well. Very much so. And I will now obviously put you out of the misery that you're not in, and that is tell you why I've got Bradley Walsh's T-shirt. Yeah?
Cool.
Actually, it's a T-shirt that has got his picture on and he signed it. I for one of my charities, there was an auction and someone gave us two pictures and a T-shirt signed by Bradley. And I was trying to bid up the auction and I ended up with his T-shirt and his two pictures. So no, he can't have it back. I'm keeping it and I probably might auction it again. You never know. But we'll see what happens, because it's just been a very, very crazy year. Very crazy.
Sure has.
So if you've got a top tip, just to wind this up, because you've been amazing. If you've got a top tip for people, for them going forward, and I know you've said think of the positive things and, you know, park the negative things and see how you can go forward. Is there anything else that you would suggest that people really should think about doing to lift their spirits?
I think we live in an age where being alone is a choice. This is what I'm saying. If there's anything that you're interested in, join a Facebook group, join an online group, join something where you can talk to people. If you're feeling lonely, you're feeling alone, get on the internet and talk to people and join social groups and community groups and this, that and the other, because I really do feel that being alone has never been more of a choice. And there's all sorts of things. I've met so many people online over the last 12 months who've come to quizzes or quiz leagues or whatever because they just felt lonely. And it's their thing. It's what they look forward to, is chatting to all these people. And so I would say embrace the concept of online communities.
I love that. That is a really, really good, solid piece of advice. And so many people do need to do that, because loneliness is horrific, isn't it? And there's so many people out there to join with, to be part of a group, because we are really basically a pack animal, aren't we? We want to be part of a group, and just find that group, whatever it might be, join it and be part of it and embrace it. That's a lovely tip. Thank you so much, Paul. I really have enjoyed this chat. You've been really open and really inspiring, and I hope we do stay in touch, because I think you're an incredible man. Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed it.
Pleasure. Thank you very much for your kind words.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for joining me today. If you know someone or are someone who should join me, please get in touch. Meanwhile, believe in yourself, support others, and please stay safe.